Hey, we say hey and welcome you here. Episode 107 of the Cherokee Rewind. Glad to have you along. I'm Mick, you know that. But I got to tell you, it's been a spat. But hey, going back about 16 years talking to this guy since I talked to this guy. And he was a forward back then, played on the team that went to the national championships and played in the national championship game. Where we came up just a goal short to St. Louis, and there was an all CSHL national championship, and this guy goes by the name of Ryan Ford, and trying to remember, Ryan, what your number was back then. I always take a guess at it, and if I'm not mistaken, mate, was it 20?
It was no, I was, I think, number three
Oh, it was real close.
when I got there. No, so well, I had two different stints with Toledo. The national championship run, I was number three. And then when I came back, which was 2 years ago, two years after that, just for a handful of games, I believe I was number 20 for that, Mick.
Oh,
So,
okay.
you were spot on as far as that goes.
Well, sort
Right.
of right. Okay. Hey. Like I always say,
Yeah.
dead a
No,
dead.
but for the national championship. So, I came in like around Christmas break, if you remember, because
Yeah.
I was playing out in Vermont. So when I got brought, when I finally got my release and got my paperwork done and was able to finally come to Toledo, numbers were already picked. I didn't really have an option, and three is what was left, and they threw it on my back. So.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, but like I always say, a broke clock's right twice a day,
Right.
so yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, so let's get started here. Let's go to how did where were you originally from? Where were you born and raised?
So, well, born in Port Huron, but raised in Chelsea, Michigan. Moved there like, when I was 1 years old or maybe even a little bit before that. So, raised in Chelsea, grew up playing hockey in the Ann Arbor, kind of circuit, Ann Arbor, Jackson, played a lot of hockey in Toledo. And then, did all the travel hockey, did the high school hockey through Chelsea. And then J.R. Engelbert, who was our goalie, if you remember that,
Oh yeah.
in Toledo as well. Him and I played high school together after high school and same graduating year. After high school, he went to Toledo and I went to the Green Mountain Glades out in Vermont. That turned out to be a disaster to say the least, and I, kept in touch with JR and saw how well Toledo was doing. And I'm like, man, is there any shot you can at least get me a skate with these guys or and like see if I can come on board? And he was like, yeah, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. Eventually, he worked it out with Varga at the time, and what the hell is the assistant coach's name? Why can't I think of
Tarsha.
it? Tarsha, yes, beauty, the best man ever. And
Yeah.
yes, and Tarsha, called me one day. He's like, because I was home on Christmas break, finally got my release, that sort of thing. Brought me in for a skate and like basically signed me that night after the skate. They liked what they saw enough to at least give me a number,
Yep. Now let's start here at the beginning, though. I want to go back to the humble beginnings of what was it like for you? You grew up playing hockey.
Yes.
Who introduced you to the game?
Yep. So I got involved because my neighbor at the time, who was my best friend for, how neighbors are and that sort of thing. A very good hockey player. He was a year older than me though. So he started at 4 or 5 years old. I was still a little too young and I started that next year. So I think I started at five and strictly because Lee was playing hockey and we play roller hockey or whatever in the driveway. And my dad and ma saw how much I loved it and I wanted to be just like him. And so they got me some equipment and got me going to Yost at 6 a.m. for those practices,
Oh.
skating up and down the boards at 6 a.m. at Yost Arena.
Well, I tell you what, though, that's still pretty cool when you consider the history of that rink. That barn has a lot of
Oh, it was
history.
awesome. Looking back at it and like I was just telling this the other day to, I think, my brother-in-law. I can't remember, but like, I still have vivid memories of the alarm clock going off at like 4 a.m. and me jumping out of bed and going and dragging my dad out of his bed so we can hit the road and go to Yost. And just thinking back on it, like how miserable he had to be to probably just sit there and drink his coffee and watch his son just fall down for an hour straight, basically. But it was, those are great times, you know?
Yeah, but to think that you as a little kid got to fall all over the place in a barn that was home to some very famous hockey teams from the University of Michigan, you know, Red Berenson. I mean, the whole nine, the history of that
Oh,
place.
absolutely. And then, so like, fast forward to elementary, middle school, high school days. My dad was did real estate appraisals, and one of the guys in his they worked at Bank of America, I believe, and his department had season tickets to Yost, but like never wanted to go for whatever reason, or never could. So always gave the tickets to my dad. So like, grew up going to games almost every Saturday, every home Saturday too. So it was pretty special as far as, I did Scoro there. I did I like they brought the little kids on the ice and you raced around. They put up like four cones and you raced around the blue lines
Oh yeah.
in like a little like miniature tractor. I won that, so I got to keep the tractor. So I got some special memories in that building, that's for sure.
Holy cow. I think the only thing I ever did
Yeah.
was at the old sports arena in Toledo, which was like an old, let's just say it was very character laden. I'll put it that way. It's an old barn. It was an old barn
Okay. All
that they tore down.
right.
I had to, instead of Scoro, I had to throw a frisbee from center ice into the net. Let's see if I can get it there. And
I like it.
yeah, problem is, up until that time, I've never thrown a frisbee.
Right. Yeah,
You know, I grew up in the city.
it's
I
a lot
didn't,
different too.
yeah, I threw up, I grew
Right.
up in the city. I didn't never, you know, had a reason to throw a frisbee or be on, I was not, I didn't live near the beach or anything. So, you know, but anyway, so now when, you
That's
know,
funny.
who are the, I mean, obviously, I would think the Red Wings in the NHL and probably the
Yes.
Wolverines in college,
Yep.
as far as the teams that
Absolutely.
you followed, who are some of the players that you looked up to and that you were a big fan of back then?
So Michigan wise, it was Mike Knuble, Brendan Morrison, leg, because he did that wraparound leg move where he, the famous
The Michigan stuff,
Michigan
tuck,
move.
yeah.
Is man, it'd be as far back as like Dino Cicerelli. He was my favorite forever. Then obviously Yzerman, Fedorov, Lindstrom. I'm trying to think of some other underrated Red Wings that you would know that, didn't get the as much pub as those guys. Would be like Dougie Brown. I loved his game, just the way he was able to do it all, basically. Like growing up, like I was absolutely loved Doug Gilmour. Loved Jeremy Roenick for a little bit when he was on Chicago. John LeClair on Philly. So, a lot of the big names that everyone knows, but those were Gilmour for sure was a guy that really stood out when I was growing up.
Yep, I can understand that. It's a hey, you know, Don, if Don Cherry approves, then you know he had to be good.
Exactly.
Oh man. So now, what would do you remember like your first coach that ever coached you?
Not my first, not like Mini Mites Mites or anything like that, but I remember my squirt coach because I ended up sticking with that team, that group of guys, that travel team for a handful of years. Doug and I can't remember, it was basically two well, Doug had a son my age who from Dexter, who's a good little player. He actually remember the Plymouth Whalers?
Yeah, sure do. Still do.
Yeah, he was their mascot. So we would go to a lot of Plymouth Whalers games too.
That's pretty
Yeah,
good.
so he would dress up in their whaler and skate around the rink and that sort of thing. He was a good coach though, old school. Taught you how to play the game the right way for sure.
Wow. So now, did you always play forward when you were growing up, or did you ever see any time on D?
No, I did kind of mix and match a little bit. I was, I guess, what I'll smart enough to play both positions and maybe not great enough to just stick at one growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like I was, they weren't losing a whole bunch of offense and putting me back at D, if that makes sense.
I
And
got
I
you.
was smart enough to play both positions. So I did, but by all means, I was mostly a forward, but I could hang back there if I needed to be.
So you were what was known as a role player. You could fit in wherever they needed you.
Exact elevator guy. I can go up and down the lineup.
Oh man, this is great. So now,
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a particular spot that you felt the most comfortable at, like on the wing, center, or anything like that? Was there anything in
Yeah,
particular?
so growing up, growing up, I was definitely a center, and a lot of that has to do with, again, being able to play defense. I was kind of more defensively responsible, and I think coaches trusted me in those positions, winning D zone faceoffs late in games and things like that. And high school especially, we had some talent, don't get me wrong, but we had a big drop off too. So I think coach and myself wanted I wanted to play center so that way I could have most control on the game. And then as I got older and slower and fatter and all that good stuff, I transitioned myself to left wing for sure. So I'm a right shot, play the left side, be able to cut in and shoot and things like that.
Let's put it this way. You, as the kids like to say these days, hold my beer. Don't tell me about that slow and fat.
Oh
Don't even.
man, it's getting bad. I'm back to playing beer leagues on Thursdays. It is, I am in rough shape, that's for sure.
Hardly. Let's put it this way. When you can go in, I always tell people how big I am. I always tell them, when I go into a restaurant, the waitresses have to put on the riot gear, okay? That's
Yeah, I'm not far behind you, my friend. I'm getting there.
oh man. But anyway, so now when did you what how old were you when you started to play travel?
Man, like I don't basically whenever it became a real option, like I know mini mites, obviously you just go to Ann Arbor's on Saturdays and skate. Mites, I think it was still pretty much just hanging out in Ann Arbor. Maybe squirt is like when you started playing travel hockey, and I think basically whenever that team was available is when I jumped on board. So I think it was squirt.
Okay. Now, what would do you remember at all
And
what it
like I mean traveling back then, it was.
Yeah, I was just going
Go
to
ahead, I'm
ask you.
sorry.
No, you're fine. There's just a little delay in there, but that's all right. But I was just going to ask you, what was it like if you remember with travel, doing home trying to do homework on the fly, obviously not getting as much sleep as you normally would, and sleeping in the car, that kind of stuff. What was it like for you and
Yeah,
your
like I
folks?
remember. Yeah, so homework thing. I wasn't the best scholar out there, so I don't never remember packing my school books for any trips. But as far as traveling, as far as traveling, yeah, like mom had a van, or I'd be going with a handful of Chelsea kids played on this travel team. So parents would take turns driving to Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Ohio, Columbus, any of those states, and we'd all just pack up in the back and sleep when we wanted to, or stay awake all night and drive the parents nuts and finally get to the hotel and then not sleep even more and start playing mini sticks and disturbing the peace in the hotel as well. So I just the amount of traveling back then, it's to think about it, what the parents sacrifice, it's crazy.
Yep, and obviously, you're just going to be discovering that here soon yourself. But we'll get into that here in a little bit. We'll get into that here shortly. But so now, when you got as you got older, what how did the game change for you? How did like when you started to look at it from peewee to bantam to heading towards high school? What about the game changed for you? I mean, in terms of like not only just in terms of on the ice with positioning and blah blah blah, all that stuff, but I mean too from like your passion for the game. How did it change? How did it become a absolute love affair?
So yeah, I always, I've been obsessed and loved hockey since day one, but growing up, games, I was never, I was always undersized and never by any means the most skilled kid on the team. So always kind of look to pass the puck quick, always kind of get it off my stick as quick as possible and kind of drive to the net or, kind of do other things without the puck. As I got older and really my freshman year of high school, I actually didn't make our high school team my freshman year, but I got put on what is called taxi squad, if you know what that
Oh
is.
yeah.
So I was able to practice with the varsity, but play travel hockey. And that was the first year that Chelsea's ice rink opened up as well. So there's a travel team right in Chelsea. So I would go to high school practice, then go to my travel practice, or if there was a delay, I would just kind of hang out at the rink and jump on open ice. And that's really where I developed puck skills, hanging onto the puck, being confident with the puck. And that changed from my freshman year to my sophomore year. That's really when the light switch hit as far as, and I started to grow a little bit. You don't always gotta get rid of the puck. You don't always have to look to pass. You can shoot, you can look to make a move. And that's when the love went to the next level too, because I was like, man, obviously I know I'm not gonna go to the NHL, but maybe I can take this a little further than just high school hockey. And so really started to get to focus in on developing other skills, shooting wise, trying to, pick up bad pucks off my feet and deflections and anything that I thought could help and maybe get me over the hump, if you will.
Okay. Well, so you made high school in your sophomore year?
Sophomore year, yeah. And again, whatever. Even if I would have made it my freshman year, it's not like I would have played a ton. But back then, Chelsea was still pretty good. And not a lot of freshmen made it back then. I know things have changed, at least up here, high school wise. Like, there's always a ton of freshmen on high school teams up here. I don't know what it's like back home anymore. But yeah, so sophomore year kind of hit the ground running in high school, though. Started to produce right away. And again, that's when everything kind of kept snowballing as far as working out, trying to eat right, doing extra stuff on the weekends and things like that, and really just loving the game the way I probably always should have, even when I was in Bantam and Squirt, you know?
So now, did you have any other siblings or anything that played or were in sports?
No, I have a younger sister. She never played hockey or anything like that, and never really got involved in sports. Arts was kind of more her territory. She's a very talented artist and very creative person in general. So, but she always came to the games, always supported me, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the reason I asked that is just because from a standpoint of your folks having to try and, divvy up time for all of you, or in this case, both of you.
Right. Yeah, so luckily I for them, they didn't have to fight that battle too much. And then also whenever there were conflicts, again, back to the travel days, there was enough of us from Chelsea on that travel team that the parents did a good job of carpooling and things like that.
Oh, that's cool. So now when you
Yeah.
so who was your coach in high school? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, Don Wright is his name. He, I don't know, retired maybe, I'll call it 5 years ago, but as you know, time flies, so it could have been a little bit, could be more than that, but
Okay, not
very good
19
coach,
and
very successful
93,
program
but
in
yeah.
Chelsea.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The
No, but he great coach, very successful program there, and we had a
Had a lot of fun there, huh?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, we I don't know if have you ever been to that rink in Chelsea?
I think once a while, it was a while ago, but I think it was
So
once.
rink, but I doubt you probably never got to saw or never seen pictures of our high school locker room. It is, I mean, it's on par with D1 level locker room. So like the fact that we were so spoiled that we had that, so it took everything to the next level as far as having that and the fun we had at the rink, and we would do team sleepovers in there and stuff like that before the season. It was just wild.
Holy cow, that does sound pretty crazy. So now, where, I,
Yeah, we sorry.
no, go ahead.
We got lucky when we were when they started building that rink. When the town started building that rink, enough quote unquote big wigs in the town knew enough people, like some Red Wings donated to it, some athletes, Detroit sports athletes and people like that. We got enough money to really create this spectacular locker room and spectacular rink, really. But we had our own laundry system in there. It was just wild. To think that was a high school locker room is crazy. Best locker room I've ever been in. Not that Toledo's was nice, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
This one was a little bit better, though, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Yeah, for a high school, it was amazing.
Hey, trust me, I understand this because Toledo, back in the day, before they played at the Ice House, they used to play over at Tam O'Shanter in Sylvania.
Okay.
And
Yeah. Oh my God. We had a bunch of travel battles with Sylvania. My age group with versus that team in Sylvania. Oh my God. Those were wars, man. Some good hockey players over there.
yep, but I just remember that too, that Toledo back then when we were over at Tam O'Shanter never got to have they never got to have their own locker room. They always had to
Oh,
go,
see, yeah, it's a
it was a trap, it was that they go to the locker room for where the guys that played pick up or travel teams that came in just for the afternoon or whatever. Those were the locker rooms that we had to use too, the Toledo teams did, because the only ones that had permanent locker rooms in Tam O'Shanter were the high school teams, Sylvania Northview and Southview or St.
Right.
Francis, that type of
Yep,
thing.
yep.
And you didn't they didn't have the rinks
Oh, it
like or
makes.
the locker rooms like because there weren't there was that was like the only those were the only rinks
Right.
that up before the Ice House. The
Yeah,
Ice House came
yeah.
in back into existence, I think, in 2001 and something like
Okay.
that, 2001, 2002, somewhere in there. And the Tam O'Shanter was the only indoor ice facility outside of the minor league arena, which there was not going to be any chance that the Cherokee would play there. But anyway,
Right, right.
but the
Right.
Anyway, so you know, it's like so they were used to not ha you know basically hauling their bag, you know, their bags and their sticks and everything to you know home and whatever. You know, they couldn't just leave them.
Oh, it's miserable, and yeah, it's miserable, and it makes all the difference in the world to have your own locker room, your space, and a place for the boys to call home, you know?
Yep, it does. And that was what was so great about the ice house, man. We loved it. Once we got there, it was like, ah, home.
It was a great setup. There's no doubt about that. That place, that was awesome.
Now, when let's finish up with high school. How did you meet JR in high school? Just as students first, or as hockey teammates?
So again, yeah, I mean, growing up, JR and I always knew each other through hockey and things like that. Never played on the same teams though. And then come high school, he did make it his freshman year. He was a great goalie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I believe he might have even been, if he wasn't the starter our freshman year, he'd split half the games. I really made the team my sophomore year, and you know that's when him and I our friendship really took off from there. But yeah, so he I've known JR forever.
Yeah. Now, so what was the experience for you like as far as when you played high school? What were the teams like as far as your guys' ability to play, win loss, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we again, like I said, we had some good top end talent in Chelsea, in my opinion, for sure. Never quite had a full team, always missing some guys, you know, to fill out a full roster, but that's probably high school everywhere. Always super competitive though. The Dexter Tr Chelsea rivalry was huge. Probably the closest team we would play, I think we actually played them at the Ice House, was Bedford.
Yeah.
I think we played them at the Ice House a couple times. But we were always, you know, one or two in the league, and it was always us and Dexter. Ann Arbor, Huron, and Pioneer were really, really strong. My younger years of high school, and even kind of right before I got into high school. And then Saline was always great too. They had some very good hockey players. I'm trying to think of some other teams, man. It's been too long. But you know, Ann Arbor, Pioneer, Huron, us, Dexter, Saline. Canton, I think we played them once or twice. They were pretty good.
Well, let me ask you, hey,
But yeah, just.
do you remember playing any against any guys back in high school or before that you went on to face either against or played with later on in your career?
Yeah, so as far as Toledo, I don't think I ever played against any of those kids in high school. Oh, I went to a team out in New Hampshire, the Laconia Leafs, and a kid ended up coming out there from Saline, James Telfer, another excellent hockey player from our area, that him and I played against each other in high school, you know, since day one. So that was kind of cool to see him out there. I believe that's it though. It's funny because you would think we would have played with more kids that ended up in Toledo or the Central States or anything like that. And I'm sure there is, and I'm just blanking because it's been so long, but no one on Toledo, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, yeah, because you didn't you and you kind of missed JR, you know, in Toledo, so didn't you?
Well, JR and I were on the team that went to the national
Oh,
championship
that's right,
game.
that's
He
right.
was
You're
our
right.
goalie
You're
for
right.
that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now,
Yeah,
how did you?
JR's how I got on the team, honestly.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. First off, before we do that, how did you end up going
Okay.
to Vermont?
So in my senior year of high school, I had a, pretty strong senior year. Got voted to all state and had a couple Division III offers. I don't know if I want to call them offers, but team sniffed around, but said, you got to, because the way it works, you got to go play juniors, obviously. You got to get bigger, stronger, faster. So from there, started looking at some teams, and my whole mindset, for whatever reason, I wanted to go far away. I don't know why, how, or what. I think they saw me at Chowder Cup. I can't remember. Actually, that's where they had to have seen me. They saw me. I played in a tournament called Chowder Cup in Boston. Saw me there and basically offered me a spot, and I took it without knowing anything. Went out there, and actually, speaking of high school kids and things like that, so I was on the B team there, and then there was an A team in the Eastern Junior Hockey League. And one of the kids on the A team played for Catholic Central, and I kind of knew him, through growing up and things like that. So him and I became good friends out there. Left like right before season started. He had, I don't know, family issues or something. So they brought in a guy who played at Clarkson and was a good hockey mind, good hockey guy, but just wasn't ready to run a team, especially all by himself, So if the train the wheels fell off very, very quickly there, and it was a disaster. I had a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but hockey-wise, it was a disaster. And again, with JR being the only other kid that I knew that went and played juniors from our area, him and I always stayed in contact, and he kept telling me how special to that team in Toledo was, really, and how much of a role you guys were on. And I just kept asking him to ask the coaches if they would be interested in having me. And basically, it worked out to where they were interested in seeing me skate, but I had to get my release from my team. And I was coming home for Christmas break anyways, and kind of forced my release. And then went and skated with Toledo over a Christmas practice. And like I said, they at least liked me enough from what they saw there, and signed me that night. So that's kind of how that all worked out.
Okay, so Chris Varga, Chris Tarsha both decide that, you're to take a shot with you. What was it like?
Them and what was the defenseman's coach name? Kingsley, I think, right?
Brian Kinsella. They called him Kinsey.
Kinsella, yes, him. Yep, he was the other coach on the coaching staff. That was, man, that when you look back on it, for a quote unquote junior B team, like, that is a hell of a coaching staff, and we had some great hockey players on that team,
Yeah, no question about it. And I mean the coaching minds, I mean, we the just to kind of give you an update, let's see. Tarsh is I think he's looking to get back into coaching, but little kids. He's not doing the
Sure.
travel stuff anymore. Chris Varga is the head coach of St. Francis, and they're the defending state champions. And then,
Okay.
yeah, so and
That doesn't surprise me. He
yep
was a hell of a coach, man.
yep and then of course we lost Brian Kinsella a couple years ago, about 3 years ago, I think we lost him, but and he's deeply and sorely missed.
I think I saw that actually through the grapevine. Oh my God. So he put a forecheck into place, kind of right before we went to Nationals. And I'm not coaching this year, but I still use that forecheck with the team that I coach the high school out here with.
Wow. Now, that tells you something when the effect that player,
Yeah.
coaches and certain people in people in hockey can have on you. It says a lot.
Oh my God, absolutely. Yeah. No, that team was special. From the coach, from ownership, from you, from coaches, from everyone all the way on down. That was a special year.
So let's talk about that for a few. Tell me what it was like when you got in to Toledo, when you made the move, when you came to Toledo. You basically, what was the welcoming slash torture committee like when you got into that locker room?
So first thing first, as far as the practice that, like my quote unquote practice skate, it was just night and day different compared to what I was doing in Toledo or Vermont, as far as like speed, execution, demand, what the coaches demanded out of you and what your teammates demanded out of each other. And again, part of it was probably because of where they were in the standings, and like they knew they had something special there. But that when I got the second I got there, I'm like, yeah, this is where I need to be. I need to be somewhere. As far as the guys were great from the start. Loved them all. But I do remember there was for whatever, I don't know if it was my first practice, second practice, third practice, something like that. Very early on, Varga wanted to quote unquote, like, I guess, initiate me into the team, if you will call it that. And so he's like, all right, we're gonna play a little game called Spin the Bucket. I don't know if you know what this is or not, but
No.
spins a bucket and you gotta fight the next that the opponent basically for as long as that bucket spins, the helmet. And he goes, he do you remember Andrew Hess?
Oh my God.
Yes, the biggest, strongest, scariest kid out there. He goes, Hess, you're gonna go against the new guy Ford. And I'm like, oh my God. And Hess already knew it was a joke from like the start. Like they must have already talked about it. But oh my God, I think when he said my name and they saw me shit my pants, I don't think Varga even made me get off my one knee, that we were sitting that he everyone just started cracking up and it was hilarious. Very, very funny.
Gosh, that is hysterical. Now, I mean, what was it like when you walked into that locker room and you saw all those guys? I mean, Tom Higgins, Corey Aveglin, Austin Seipel, all, I mean, those are some pretty strong, big, strong guys.
Seipel, man, what a good hockey player he was.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it was so like I got to be around that because the way the B team and A team were so connected out in Vermont. Like I got to see what real junior hockey looked like, but where I was at was not it. And then when I got to Toledo, again, that was we were quote unquote a junior B team, but we would have done fine in the Eastern League out there. Like those players were those guys you just named, and the list could go on. Like we're just strong, smart, great hockey players. And again, it was I knew that's where I wanted to be, where I needed to be, and thought I could help the team, and I think I did, both on and off the ice, as far as fitting in and having fun with the guys and that sort of thing.
You know what's funny is the thing, you think about all those big, strong guys, right? So they probably could handle themselves better than anybody, but and they could. But the funniest part is that probably if you had to name probably the best fighter on that team, it wasn't any of them. Bart Reeves, who was like 5 foot
Oh
nothing,
my
a
God.
hundred and nothing.
Guy was an animal
Yeah, and he was like a
and
little
just didn't
guy.
stop. Like, exactly. He was as thin as a fence post, but he packed a punch and he was not afraid of anyone. And he didn't stop throwing punches until they hit the ice.
Oh man, that was so great, watching that team back then. And of course, you talk about Seipel. Seipel to this day, all right, is probably one of the most soft-spoken, nicest guys you will ever meet in your
Absolutely.
life. Soft-spoken as they get. Works in a health system here in town. So I would see him from time to time over the years.
Gotcha.
And It was, I mean, but the thing is that if you ever got were on the other side of the of a fight with him, God help you, because he could hit you and
Oh,
hurt you.
not only that, that's what I mean. Like his just body checks alone, too. They were always so clean, but so hard. He was such a good hockey player.
Yep. And then now, who do you remember who you
And like you said, obviously a great guy, too.
Yeah, no question. Do you remember who you lined up with first, who your first line mates were when you first started in Toledo?
So I don't remember like my the first shift I took as far as who who was on my line, but by the time everything kind of got cemented out and we were heading to Nationals and the team was really rolling, it was I was centering the Hafner brothers. Remember those guys? Toby and Rue. And not to pump our own tires, but Varga, they told us you guys are the best third line at this tournament, and we're gonna need you and that sort of thing. Like we just had a really good. I remember older Hafner scored a huge goal in the semifinals, I think it was. Like
Was
we
Toby.
the three of us just played real. Yep, played really well together. And funny is my wife, she's from here, from Rochester, New York area. But her first 2 years of schooling, she went to Bowling Green. And her, with like maybe two or three kids from her age group, guys, went to Bowling Green as well. And they all played club hockey. And Hafner was on that team with them. So my wife got to know him through partying with those guys and all that sort of thing. So it's just such a small world.
Now, did you meet her at Bowling Green or did you meet her in New York?
No, I met her up here. Yeah.
Okay.
Nope. I did not go to school at Bowling Green.
Gotcha. So, okay, so now tell me
Yeah.
what it was like in that first season that you played in Toledo. What were the what kind of what did they want from you? What did they expect from you? And how long did it take for you to get comfortable playing in your role in Toledo?
I think so. Expectations were pretty clear from the start, and I think that's the only way to be successful as a coach is you got to lay out what you expect to see from the players. And it was obvious, like our first line was Higgins, Irby, Nate, and Abigail or Abigail, excuse me. And I mean, you can go look at their points. They were 100-point guys or whatever they were. Like they were machines. So obviously my role was not to be like they didn't need me to score a hat trick every night, you know? But they wanted a smart, defensive-minded third line center and to chip in offensively. And I luckily the puck went in for me kind of right away when I got to Toledo. I started out with kind of a bang. I don't remember the stats or anything like that, but I do remember thinking in my head, like, this is, I'm putting up some points here. Things are going pretty well. And the fact I was able to do that at, really everything became easier, obviously, because you're not gripping your stick too tight. You're not thinking too much out there. You're just kind of playing. And I don't know. I may have scored my first game. I can't remember, but scored quickly into it and started putting up some halfway decent points and doing what the coaches, I got some power play time. I remember Higgins one time fed me beautifully on a back door for a wide open net and kind of like a play that they had been working on, I think, and just it didn't really connect for whatever reason. And then for whatever reason, Varga put me in that spot and Higgins fed me for a wide open backdoor net and slammed it home. And he kind of that's when like everything started clicking, I think, in my mind, the team's mind, the coaching staff's mind of like, this kid can actually do some things for us.
Yeah, so now who of I'm trying to think who were like going through the rest of that season and stuff, how big of a change or a difference did you see in yourself as far as when you played in Vermont versus playing in Toledo? I mean, the caliber of hockey, was it that big of a leap, or was it, I mean, what was it like for you?
So, hockey, we were there's some definitely skilled hockey players out there on the East Coast, and saw some played against some great players out there. But coming to the Central States League, it was like it almost felt like the NHL. Like, man, these teams are built top to bottom for anything and everything, and it's not just sorry, hold on. I apologize. I was getting a phone call there. It's not just like the skilled game. Like, it's dump and chase, grind it out. There's actually systems in place, forechecks in place. If that makes sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if when it comes to
And
speed of the game, was that a big difference, or?
I mean, just speed as far as like speed and strength on the puck, I guess is how I'll call it. Like, again, out east, there the kids could fly, and there's some skilled players that would just try to toe drag you and things like that. Where back here, it was our Ohio Central States, it was I can and I will lower my shoulder and go straight to the net, and you're gonna have to figure out how to stop me type thing, you know?
Okay. Now,
So,
so tell me about the tournament in Philadelphia, the championship run. What
yeah,
was that like for you?
it was. I, still think about it, and still bums me out that we couldn't cap it off there. St. Louis was a great team, don't get me wrong. But I felt, we play them again back then. Who knows? Could have been a different outcome. It just wasn't our night for whatever reason. But as far as that whole run of that tournament and all of that sort of thing, I don't know, never been through something like that, where like you're watching every game. You're watching, I think our first game was versus Minnesota Ice Hawks. It was either our first or second, and they were supposed to be like some great team from Minnesota, and obviously you hear Minnesota and you're like, holy shit, these guys are gonna be awesome. And we get in a battle with them, but we beat them. And throughout the game, you can see that, like, these guys aren't that much better than us. They're not even better than us, period. And then we go and I don't remember if we played Phoenix yet next or not, but again, same thing. These guys, all they do is smoke teams down in the Western States League. It's going to be crazy. I think we beat them decently. And you're just in your mind, you're like, oh my God, we're doing this thing. We're gonna make it all the way. We're everything was just clicking, it was crazy.
Well, I remember, was it the Minnesota Ice Hawks? I think it was. Which team had all their players dyed their hair blonde? That was them, wasn't it?
I believe it was them, and I believe that was an overtime game, and I believe that's the goal that Hafner scored. We got put on the ice in overtime, or if it wasn't overtime, it was super late in the third. I can't remember. But regardless, he had the game winner, and it was he was he I believe if see now I'm trying to remember all my stories. I think he came in later in the season too. Like, he wasn't playing with Toledo from the start, the older Hafner, correct?
Yeah, that's Toby. Yeah, Rue was the younger
Yeah,
one.
exactly. I believe Toby, he was either at university, correct. And Rue was the one that went to school with my wife. And I believe Toby was either at University of Toledo or University of Ohio or Bowling Green or one of those schools at the beginning, and came in later to the season. I think to really kind of play with Rue and play with his brother. And then the three of us just turned into this great third line, and Toby had that big time goal.
Yeah, and the funny part is, and again, Another really good guy. I really like Toby a lot. Always have.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, I mean, I always liked Rue too. Don't get me wrong. I loved
Yes,
Rue.
absolutely.
But the thing is that I knew Toby longer. So, you know, I knew Toby more than I did Rue. And go ahead.
Toby, Rue was certainly more quiet than Toby too. But they're both great kids.
And Toby was with me on the
well,
call. Toby was with me on the call the following season when they had that little tete-a-tete with Dubuque. He had the I was doing it for TV for BCSN, and he was my analyst.
Okay.
And he's sitting there going, "This is Gong Show hockey."
Man, yeah, no, the three of us turned into a great third line. We just kind of, you know how sometimes you just click, you see lines click, and that was us. Toby was the old guy that kind of directed where and what he wanted Rue and I to do, and we kind of followed the leader and listened to him and got it done, you know?
Yeah, no, the reason I was asking about the blonde hair and all that stuff, because there's a story with that, with Minnesota. They came when we left at night to go to Philadelphia, and we met at the ice house.
Okay.
And they came, they got there as we were leaving. They showed up because they bought the ice to practice at the ice house while we were leaving.
Oh man, I kind of remember that. Yeah.
And so they practiced at the ice house.
My gosh.
And don't ask me how I remember this stuff. Like I said, it all runs together sometimes. But
no, but it's funny that you bring that all up. I do kind of remember that now. Yeah, yeah.
So they head out to Philadelphia, and they're staying at the same place we are, which was just over the line in Delaware. And
yeah. Yep.
And I'm trying to remember. I'm going to throw a couple names at you and see if you remember. I don't remember if they played on your team or it might have been the year before. But Jared Siganuk? Did he? That doesn't ring a bell?
No.
Okay. That was a different team then. Anyway, it had to do with it had to do with the Nationals.
Okay.
But anyway, different year. Anyhow, so we're in Delaware.
Yeah.
I remember this. And after we beat Minnesota and they don't qualify to make it to the semis, they trashed, I think they trashed some rooms or they did some damage. They did damage to the tune of something like $10,000 or $11,000 worth of damage at the hotel.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. And they were so mad. It
doesn't surprise me.
They were supposed to win. They really thought they were, because all their players were like 19 and 20 years old. They were old. They're all, you know.
Yes. Yep.
Old
yep.
guys. And we, you know, most other teams had kind of spread the wealth there of the age range, but they were all veteran.
Yeah.
And that cracked me up. I remember that they made a mess in the hotel. And I mean, because they were saying stuff like, "You guys be careful and, you know, have a safe trip home," and all that other stuff before we played them. All right. So, you know, and their coach at the time went on to be, we became friends later. Tommy McDermott, he went on to coach in the CSHL. He coached for Quad City. Yeah. He coached for Quad City in Davenport, Iowa.
Sure.
And so he just, again, a good guy. I just remember him though, from my introduction to him in Minnesota, which was, not quite as nice. So, but
no. Yeah. No, they definitely thought they were going to, you know, steamroll us through. I think a lot of teams kind of underestimated us, not only that year, but especially that tournament. And we just put our head down and kept working and again, it was just one of those special teams where we found ways to win.
And the thing is, you know, you got to hand it to St. Louis. They were in the midst of their steamroll. I mean, they won in
Oh, their dynasty, right?
yeah,
Exactly.
that team definitely was a dynasty because they won something, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think something like in a 10-year period, they won six national championships. And it was
Yeah,
ridiculous.
and I think but I think if you I think they didn't think that game was going to be as close as it was. I can tell you that much. Like, they thought they were going to steamroll us too.
Oh yeah, and well, to be fair, I'm just like I said, I'm just saying that
Right.
that league that said a lot about the CSHL because of how good the teams were.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
I agree with that.
Toledo was fantastic. Obviously St. Louis national champs, so they were definitely really, really good. There were in my mind, you could have picked another one or two CSHL teams to go to that tournament. I know you can't, but I mean they could have, and they probably would have fared pretty well in different
Right.
pools.
No, I know what you're saying. I absolutely agree with you. That league, top to bottom, was it's a great league. There was back then, just like I said, it was built for kind of playoff hockey and built for whatever style you want to play, they can play it and they're going to play it better than you type thing.
Yeah, and the funny part is
It's, I loved it.
I don't know if it was that year or it may have been the year before. St. Louis had a team that rolled and they won the whole season except for one game. They won national championship, but they won
And it was Toledo.
it, no, the one they lost one game the entire season. And it was against Grand Rapids, who was in
Yeah.
last place, and
Oh, really?
it was the only win of the year for Grand Rapids. Every other team beat them.
Gee. Oh, come on.
Serious. Every other
Come
team
on.
beat them. That's
That's
still a,
funny.
that's Jack Behan, who was the coach during all of that dynasty, a legendary coach in St. Louis.
Yeah.
He's still a good friend of mine, and we still keep in touch and we
Yeah.
talk. And
What? He's not still coaching them, is he? Isn't he
no, no,
coaching
no, no. He
something different?
well, he coached high school after that. He coached high school, and one of his teams went and won a
Maybe
state
that's what it
title.
is.
And now I think
Yes.
he's,
Okay, so that's what it is.
yeah. And then now to this day.
Because my roommate out here, sorry to cut you
Oh,
off,
no,
but
go
my
ahead.
roommate out here, before I moved in with my wife, was from St. Louis. He played for Phoenix actually, but from St. Louis. And so we, and then his dad coached for a high school team called St. Louis Prep University or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were playing Jack's team in the finals that year that Jack won it all.
Yep.
So
That's
again, it's just funny. The hockey world, it's
so,
crazy.
yeah, it is. And it's so small, but yeah, that still rubs Jack the wrong way when
I can imagine. That's, I wonder what happened then. Like, did he just play a bunch of young kids and play his third string goalie or what?
I have no idea, but all I know is that that was Grand Rapids' only win that year. As against St. Louis, who were the
Hey, that's
national
a championship for them.
champions. That's true.
Right, but
Very
that's a
true.
championship for saying for Grand
Grand
Rapids. They should get
Rapids.
them some rings.
I was going to
That's
say,
great.
that's hilarious. But now you finish up that year. Where did you go to in 05, 06?
So that's where I went. I went to the team out in New Hampshire, Laconia Leafs. Again, kind of the same setup as Vermont, sadly. We're like, and they saw me. It was actually JR and I were going to go there. They saw us at Nationals. JR kind of last minute decided to stay home and stick it out with Toledo. I went out there because my mindset was all those Division III teams are all out there, so that's where you're going to get the most exposure. So I went out there. But it's kind of same setup where like they kind of had a legendary coach. I think his last name was Fay, if I'm remembering correctly. But family issues or family fourth season. Another coach who was going to be the goalie coach, but took it over and became, you know, the quote unquote head coach at a super young age. Great guy, but again, just kind of in over his skis and not ready to run a, especially a junior A team, back then. And it was, so hockey wise, we were kind of a disaster, but again, some really good hockey players, some, our top end talent on that team is, was great. And, but did the whole year out there and had some great, great times and great friends and lived with a billet family and all that good stuff.
Then, so after that, what did you weigh? What weight you weighed your options? What were you thinking as far as what you should do next?
So after that, I got quote unquote asked to come play for a Division III team in Wisconsin. Marion University is the name of it. I'll say asked to play. Like I lived in a hockey house. Like I was quote unquote on the team, I guess is how, what I'll call it, but certainly a bubble guy. Like they were a deep, strong team. And by no means was I going to be just like handed a role, you know what I'm saying? Like a roster spot or anything like that.
Okay.
The weekend before tryouts, it's our goalie's 22nd birthday. I'm only 20 at the time. We all go out to the bars. He gets in a bar fight because he, you know, he's feeling great. It's his birthday, this and that. No one can talk to him. Bar fight gets pushed outside. As you know, Mick, I'm by no means a fighter, but I'm certainly going to go outside with the team.
Oh, yeah.
Cops come. You know, cops come, break it all up, take everyone's ID, this and that, see that I'm underage, write me a ticket. Next day, I'm called into coach's office, Coach Weiss. He tells me I'm putting a black eye in his program and there's no room for me on his team. So I'm devastated. Don't really know what to do. Have to finish out the semester of schooling because it's already paid for. Like, I'm not just going to leave, you know?
Yeah.
But that's when I call Tarsha and link back up with Toledo for their last kind of remaining little bit run there. My second stint with Toledo. I think Tarsh, he would have helped me out regardless because he's such a great guy like that.
Yeah.
I think he thought he was getting the old hockey, you know, the Ford of old. He got the new Ford that hadn't played in 3 months now and did nothing but sit around and drink beers and watch Seinfeld and not get to play hockey anymore. So when I, my second stint in Toledo did not go as well as my first, I will put it that way. Like fun, had a great time. It was fun, but hockey wise, I wasn't productive really, you know?
Mm-hmm. But you know, again, you didn't have the benefit of,
I was fine.
But still, you know, I think that if you look at it, you know, too, you had the benefit in the first go around with Toledo of you had all that correct veteran leadership. I mean, and never mind the talent. Okay. Yeah. It was extremely talented.
Right.
We were stacked that first go around.
Right.
So yeah. I think the expectations yeah for you, they didn't have to rely on you so heavily where in 06-07 in 07 that changed a lot. You know, I mean, there were, that team wasn't as talented. It was talented, but it wasn't stacked. It they didn't have a team
that could
win at will, you know, score at will.
Absolutely. And so that it was Tarsh was still on or Tarsh was the assistant coach, but Ian Duncan was the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tarsh had, and in his, you know, not his fault, he hadn't seen me play in a while, but oversold me to Duncan, and I came in, and I think Dunk was expecting borderline first line center, you know, someone that was really going to start filling the net. And I didn't have it in me. I wasn't in shape. It took me forever to even get back into playing shit, you know, and I think Duncan always liked, like, don't get me wrong, like, you know, I always respected what he said, did whatever he asked of me. So he always liked me, but I think he was sour in the fact that he thought he was getting a different hockey player, you know.
Well, you know, but again, I think that too. It's all about expectations. So you know, but tell me a little bit though
right.
about some of those guys though that you played with on that second go around. I'm trying to remember. Like again, the names all run together in different years around that time. So I was trying.
So the special thing about that is I got to play with my best friend David Mayville.
Okay.
If you remember him. Yep. And then, so he was a Chelsea boy. He's younger than me. I got him hooked up with Tarsh after high school because he wanted to continue to play. So that's how he ended up in Toledo. But some of, like, my friend, you know, friends from that team, like Ryan Wall, Jay Clark. Yeah, exactly. That crew, Jay Clark, those boys.
Yeah.
Wall and I still – stay in contact a little bit here and there. It's been a minute since I talked to him, but so that was kind of my crew.
Trying to think.
What the heck was that? DJ Fisher.
Oh,
Fisher,
gosh.
That kid was hilarious.
Fish was a piece of work. Oh man.
He was hilarious.
I mean, trying to remember.
So
did Brandon Thalen play with you?
And then, what was the last name?
Thalen. Thielen, I think.
That doesn't sound familiar, but again, who knows? His nickname could have been something different, and it would ring a bell. Brandon Bolter was on that team.
Enjoyed
him a lot.
Yeah.
He was a good kid.
Now, how about him and was it?
Yes.
Was Matt Yock on your team? Frank the Tank?
Frankie, yes, absolutely. Yep, and Frankie and... Frank was awesome, don't get me wrong, but his dad was the best part. His dad was awesome. Love his old man.
Chris yeah. Matyak is hilarious. I love that guy. He matter of fact, I saw him a couple of years. I ran into
always
him.
Always love seeing him at.
Yeah, I saw him at work a couple years ago. I worked at a hospital and I ran into him. He was going there to visit somebody.
There you go.
And I ran into him there. We had lunch together, him and his wife. And oh my goodness, that was, I mean, it was just so neat to see him. It really was.
Nice.
It was so great. And of course, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd crack me up.
Those guys are a riot. I mean, they were a riot. And they really do make
yeah.
me laugh.
So my second stint. Absolutely. So my second stint hockey wise, you know, doesn't even compare to my first stint, but, those guys the second year, some of the jokesters on that team, man, that was a fun time.
Now, were you ever one to try to, you know, mess with or pull a prank or two?
Man, I was never smart enough to ever come up with something on my own, or especially my first year, probably scared if I ever did anything, Hess would beat the piss out of me
or Higgy,
you know, any of those guys, Reeves, like you said.
Yep.
Exactly. But no, I mean, really, I'm not too much of a prankster, but always in the hotel room with the boys, always laughing, always doing, you know, whatever we're doing, I'm usually with the boys and having a good time.
Who was in that second stint? Who were some of the guys? I mean, what were some of the things that you guys, you know, messed with each other? I mean, I'm thinking more along the lines of maybe.
So I don't remember exactly, you know, like pulling pranks on the guys, but something that I still laugh to this day. It was Fisher.
What a surprise.
You remember Josh Nichols?
Oh yeah.
He's a Canadian kid,
yeah,
right?
He's from Originally? Windsor. Yeah, he's from Windsor.
Yeah, exactly. So those two were buddies, and I, you know, obviously I became friends with them and things like that, and I don't remember what road trip we were on, but in the hotel room, Josh and DJ, but mainly Josh, Nichols calls the front desk and is asking for basically a wake-up call, but doing it as Beavis and Butthead, and he was spot on with all his impressions. And I was pissing myself laughing because he just did it out of nowhere, just picked up the phone and started doing it. And I still crack up to it, thinking every time I walk in a hotel room, I think about him doing it or me picking up the phone call and doing it, and just what that front desk ladies must have been going through. He's like, can you like shut up or something? Like, just in the beat. Yeah. Oh my God, it was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that sums up Fish in a nutshell. Oh my gosh, those guys.
Yeah, him and Nichols. I think it was Nichols that did it. It was so funny. I mean,
you know, and the thing funny. I remember having a conversation with our Mike Robertson at the time. And Mike was telling me
I forgot about him.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he was very good dude, still is. Him and Diana, I saw them a couple years ago. And they're hanging in there, man. They're still going strong. It's a good thing. But I ran into, or good. We were talking about, we were talking back then about when he told me about them signing Josh Nichol. And he goes, they weren't sure if they were going to come to Toledo or not, because, you know, they about coming over the border now all the time and everything. And they're like, they go, but if how much is it going to cost to get into games? And Mike goes, tell you what, says, I'll throw in a, he goes, you sign here, I'll throw in a couple of tickets to home games. He goes, you're good.
that's hilarious.
That's how they got Josh. Yeah. That's how they got Josh in. But
that's funny. I did not know that.
Yeah, neither did. I mean, I only knew it just because we were talking about it one time, having a sarsaparilla or two, and we just had a laugh about that.
Yeah.
Some of those silly little things that you think are just throwaways end up being some of the best stuff, you know? So now where did you?
Oh, my dad.
Go ahead.
So, my dad, you know, him and I grew up watching Beavis and Butthead, and he, you know, cracks up at those guys, but he still brings up that prank phone call almost all the time, every time I see him.
Oh, that's a beauty. Now, where did you play?
Yeah.
Where did you go after Toledo?
So I went to a school in Rochester, New York, which is where I currently live, Monroe Community College, it's called. It's actually, there's a junior college hockey league, which I never knew about. And one of the kids in at the school I went to in Wisconsin, there's a team in North Dakota, played in it. So like when I was trying to figure out what the heck I was gonna do, he told me to look at this league, and I got it all set up for the next year, but I needed to play hockey in the meantime. And that's how I ended up back at Toledo. The only famous guy to ever make it out of this league is Dustin Penner.
Really?
He actually played for that North Dakota team and, yeah, somehow went to University of Maine from there and then to the NHL, obviously.
That's funny.
But mostly New York teams, like there's a team in Rochester, team in Buffalo, team in – well, Erie, like this area, team in New Jersey. It's actually not that bad of hockey, to be honest. Like, it's a handful of junior kids or, like, top-level high school kids. And it's the school I went to, the rink is right on campus. The dorms were brand new. So it was, like, and they were excellent. So that's why I went there, basically.
Okay. So now, how long did you play there? All four or?
Just 2 years.
2 years? Okay.
No, 2 years.
All right. And then was that it? Was that when you hung them up from a competitive standpoint?
Yep, that was it. So I did come back home for a year and went to Eastern and was potentially going to play there and, like, you know, kind of had it all set up to play there. I knew a bunch of guys there and that sort of thing. But at that time, they had just gotten kicked out of the Cube.
Oh, yeah.
And they were skating out of some rink I don't even, Dearborn, Detroit, somewhere, I don't remember. And logistically, it was just going to be a nightmare. So just unfortunately, that was kind of the nail in the coffin. Because the cube, I could swing. The cube, Ann Arbor, Central, like, could make practices no problem, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, okay.
So that was it.
That was it in a nutshell. So let's fast forward.
Basically.
Let's fast forward, though. I mean, obviously, you met your lovely bride. And you went.
Yep.
How did you end up going back to New York?
Always knew, for whatever reason, always loved it out here and kind of always wanted to come back out here. Went back home for that year, like I said. Nothing was really happening back home. Tried to get a job at University of Michigan a couple different times applied. Just because their benefit package was through the roof, their retirement and benefits and health and all that stuff. Never was able to get a job there. So stayed in touch with everyone out here. And the kid, my roommate that I talked about from St. Louis, and he wanted to come back out here too. So we bought an apartment off Craigslist, kind of sight unseen. Came up here and started making trouble ever since, basically.
So it wasn't a case of when you walked in the apartment that there was like a chalk outline on the floor somewhere, was there?
It was a disaster. Not quite that bad, but we had like a fly infestation from our basement. Like it was not the nicest apartment by any means. Yeah. Oh yeah. Had fly traps everywhere. Like the fly papers hanging down, and it was a disaster, but it was cheap. It was in the city. Neither of us had established ourselves from like kind of a working standpoint. So we're just kind of doing, working at bars, restaurants, that sort of thing. So the fact it was cheap was appealing. And then his cousin actually played in the NHL for a handful of years for St. Louis and a couple other teams, and finished his career out here with an AHL team, that Rochester Amherst, and was in the process of putting together like a hockey school.
Uh-huh.
The plan was to always link on with that, and that kind of fell through at the 13th hour. So started scrambling and doing odd jobs and landscaping and crap like that before we could find our next move, you know?
Oh, yeah. So now, how did you end up meeting your wife?
Through him, actually. So his dad spent time out here too. His dad went to high school out this area.
Okay.
So his dad has a lake house out here. So every summer he would come back, and he got linked up with kind of the hockey scene out here, the age group that we're in. So went to a bar with him and another hockey player who I hadn't met at the time, but have become good friends with him. And my wife came to that bar that night too. And she went to school with that kid. So she came over to say hi and hit it off from there, really.
What was the, who asked who out first?
I definitely asked her out first. We went to a restaurant around the corner from my apartment. It was about 100 degrees in the summer. And I'm a, fresh out of college, gross bachelor who hadn't done laundry in forever. So I had to wear jeans and a button-down shirt and just pouring buckets of sweat the entire time. So I don't know how she agreed for a second one, but she did. And it was gross. But luckily she agreed for a second one. And from there, did some laundry and wore some shorts and was a little more presentable that second time around.
Well, after all, I'm sure probably the flies probably helped out. They had to make sure that the laundry was done.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I kept her out of the apartment, I was fine.
That's funny. So now let's wind her up here. Tell me, what is What has it been like now, you know, not only being a husband now, but recently becoming a dad?
So, awesome to, you know, in one word, can't really describe it. But no, Haley, little daughter, just turned 15 months. A little crazy having her during COVID and the pandemic and all that good stuff. It was kind of a blessing and a curse. The blessing was we got to hunker down and not have to, you know, worry about people coming over or taking her anywhere or anything like that. But now we're starting to feel like, you know, she's hasn't seen a whole lot outside of our house. So, but luckily she started daycare a handful of months ago and she's doing fine. And, you know, she's the best. There's nothing to it. Bought her last month, bought her a couple mini sticks. She's taken to those. So gonna get her on the ice this winter and see how it goes.
That kid doesn't stand a chance. You're gonna have her skating in no time. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna wind her up here
Yeah.
with a couple of questions that I always wind each one up with. And that is, one, who are the people that impacted you the most during your playing career, on the ice and off the ice?
On the ice, so obviously Lee Woodruff, the kid that got me started. He was always a year older than me, always playing the year up for me. So I always, you know, watched him play, watched his team, watch those teams. And then like throughout my coaching staff that kind of we created that travel team and kind of did the run throughout there. Great group of guys, great group of you know, just teachers to teach us how to play the game the right way. And then you know, once you get into the high school age, the older kids, you know, names you're not gonna recognize, but Josh Barron, Ben Daniels, Craig Irwin, these older group of kids that look like pros almost in your mind when you're in eighth grade, you know, seventh grade, and you're
Sure.
like, man, these kids shoot the puck 100 miles an hour, skate 100 miles an hour. Trevor Mayville is another name. Drew Warren, like, just kids that you see them and you're like, man, I want to do that. So you just really start working on your craft, really, and become that. And luckily, I got to be good enough to where you know, I put up some numbers and stuff like that. But coaching wise, high school, Don Wright was an excellent coach, like I said. But then juniors, honestly, and I'm not just saying this because it is, you know, the Cherokee we re rewind, but that coaching staff my first year, and even Duncan too, my second stint, like, you know, I learned a lot from Duncan, but really that first year, man, like I said, I still, when I'm not coaching this year, but the past 3 years I've coached a high school team out here, still use a forecheck that Kinsella put in place. And just, I just remember, you know, working up to that weekend tilt with whoever it was, whether it was Grand Rapids, Quad City, blanking on some names in that league, the Chicago team, whatever, you know. And those guys, they I saw that, and I emulate the work that those guys put in, and tried to do that with my high school team for sure. Then obviously you got the pro guys, but I don't really think that counts. I've never met them, you know.
Yep.
I just try to, I look at some of their practices and what they do and try to do some of those things. But no, really, that first coaching staff in Toledo.
They impacted you greatly, and that's fine. You know, that's an awesome thing. Now, let me ask you, how about away from the ice? Who would you say was the biggest impact on you for your life and what you do and things like that?
You know, it's cliche, but obviously start with your parents, and you think about, especially when, now that I am a parent, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but the sacrifices they made to get me started, not only cost wise but time wise, and you know, saw my passion for it, and you know, hockey camps and getting me involved in whatever, you know, I would tell them I want to do this camp, they'd find a way to scrounge up some money and get me involved in it. So obviously start there, but then you branch out to, grandparents who never missed a game, aunts and uncles who came. It's just, it, and then the hockey families you meet on those teams too. It's, we all say it, and I know every sport thinks they're the best, but these hockey families, man, they are the best in my opinion. There's nothing better.
I couldn't agree more.
I grew up in this game.
I couldn't agree more, man.
And it's, you know, the list goes on as far as like names from back home and things like that, but it's true. They're just, you know, allowing me to hop in their van and sleep on their hotel room floor because my parents couldn't make it that night and that sort of thing. And it's just, the list goes on.
Yep. Amen to that. Well, let's wind her up. I'm going to turn the floor over to you. And that is, what would you like to say to the Cherokee Nation that's tuned into this? Because there's alumni, there's old coaches, former players, fans, all the above that all tune into this, and I'm grateful for it. But what would you like to say to them?
Oh, yeah. Just how special of a place Toledo has been, and it's because of all those, what you just mentioned. Obviously starts at the ownership and works its way down, but it's a Class A organization. It is Central States League. That's what it was called. I believe it's called something different now.
Well, they play in the USPHL.
There was nothing like it. My time of being away, but in the Central States, there was nothing like it. Our bus rides were, you know, we never had to worry about any, everything was taken care of. And it's just such a special place. And it was, I'm lucky that I was into that organization. And you know, it's a bummer we couldn't cap it off with a national championship ring. Obviously we tried our best, but the fact we got there, I hope we made everyone proud with it. And you know, it's still the team I think about the most when I look back on my hockey career. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I will tell you this. As far as you don't have to hope. They were proud of you guys, not only when you were competing for a national championship, but even when you were just trying to crack the lineup, you know, all points in between.
Right.
You know, because you contributed right. A lot. And the thing was, is that I think Ryan was a couple things. Yeah, you had some talent. You were able to do some things, and that was great. But I think the most important for most everyone around was the fact that you were always a good kid. You were always a decent guy. And you were a solid, rock-solid teammate. And that, I think, means more. Because, yeah. I mean, those trophies, they'll collect dust and everything. And that's all well. You know, yeah, you always want the memory of having a ring because that's what we all play for. But also play for the memories.
Right.
You also play for the bond.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the other thing that, you know, that you brought.
No. The boys there were awesome. I, you know, sadly I'm out this way now, so I'm not in the Midwest. I don't really see any of them, or, you know, and have kind of lost touch, I guess I'll put it, but hopefully down the line. And I know this at some point, you know, we'll be at rinks because their kids will be playing against my kids, and it's going to be just so fun to catch up, have some beers, and talk hockey again, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you this right now. I'm going to put this in your memory banks, and that is, in the not-too-distant future, we're going to put together a little reunion weekend here in Toledo, and we're going to have people come back. Probably have an alumni game, I'm sure, for the younger alumni. The old fogies, they can just, we're going to sit in the stands and heckle. And the other thing we're going to do, and the key to it is, in addition to having the, you know, the game for the younger, like I say, the younger guys, is the fact that in addition to heckling them, those of us that are old, I want us to be able to catch a game of the current Cherokees.
Yes.
You know, Anyway, but that's kind of the
Oh, it'd be
plan.
awesome.
Yeah, that's the plan, is we're going to do that for a weekend, and we'll put it together, and it'll be sooner rather than later. And so, but I want people to be able to come back in so they can have a couple pops and in the stands, and go in there and just start telling tall tales and laughing our butts silly, and just enjoy it.
Yeah, another super funny kid from, well, two from my first stint that just popped in my head. Pillmore
Billy.
and JC Gulch.
Yes.
Yeah, those kids, man.
Yeah, JC, and he always
Yes.
played with
I
Ryan
hell.
Sell on defense.
Yep. Had some fun with those two kids for sure. Because I think maybe originally my first line was Rue, myself, and Pillmore. And then Pillmore did his own get moved to a different line because he could kind of carry his own line. And it was me, Toby, and Rue. But yeah, no, those two kids just popped in my head too, as far as kids from back then.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing about this.
Devin Benike. Be Nike?
Benicky.
Was that his name? Devin B. Yes, he was hilarious.
Yeah, great kid. Great kid too. And it's funny
Funny
because
kid. Yes, funny.
it's funny. I do this every time I do these podcasts. It's inevitable that it's like we start going down memory lane, and then just as we're getting ready to finish up and say, hey, we'll talk to you soon, it's like, oh my God, all these other memories come flooding back. And
Oh yeah. It, how do you can't, there's not enough time, you know?
yeah, it's hilarious, and you just start
It's
you
too, yeah.
it's great. That's what I but that's why I love doing this, because it gives guys a chance to tell their story. And the fact that
Yeah.
they can have a laugh or two about it, and just hey, be thankful
Oh
for
yeah.
the game that gave so much to them, and that they get a chance to give back to the game, So,
Exactly. Exactly.
hey bud, it was great catching up with you. I really appreciate you doing this. I know we were it was like, oh, just for a little
Absolutely, Nick.
bit. Here we are over an hour and a half later, and it's like, ah.
Well, that's why I kind of had to start driving. I apologize, but I had to excuse me, get to my next stop. But no, it's fun. I'm happy to do whatever, if you ever need another one, but definitely let me know what you need from me as far as email address or phone number, address and permanent
All that
address,
stuff, yeah.
house address for, yeah, any of that stuff coming up. I would hopefully find a way to get back and see some of these guys.
Hey, no.
Have to freaking wear a name tag, probably. They're not gonna recognize me, and I won't recognize them necessarily, but
trust me, Ryan.
soon.
I knew you immediately. It wasn't like I had to sit there and go, gee, I think I don't know. Hell no, I knew exactly
Right,
who you were.
I'm
Yeah, that's all right. Hey.
bald now. That's the biggest difference, right?
Well, okay, that's all right. But like I said, you still have that baby face though.
But
So
no, it's great to see you. You look great. Happy to hear things are,
plugging
you're
along.
retired and get to enjoy life. But yeah, exactly.
That's it. So, and you'll get there hopefully one day too. So that's the beauty of it. And you get to watch your little girl grow up, and
Yeah.
yeah, and then you remember
Yep.
when she turned 16 and 17, you're going to remember what you were like at 16 and 17. That's where the payback begins, if not sooner.
Scary, scary thought. Exactly.
Exactly. Well, hey, brother, take care, and I really am thankful for this, and we'll talk again soon, bud.
Oh, me too, Mika. Again, appreciate it. And yeah, we'll talk soon. Keep me in the loop on everything.
You got it, man. Well, that's going to do it for episode 107 here of the Cherokee Rewind. Don't forget, subscribe, and then that way every time a new episode drops, you get notified, and you'll be able to tune into who the next alumni is that's going to come in and talk to you. So for Ryan Ford, I am Mick saying so long, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Cherokee Rewind.